Thank you very much, Dr. Comfort. I appreciate very much the opportunity to speak in chapel this morning, and I want to thank each one of you for coming this morning. I know most of you didn't have a choice about being here, but we're looking forward to what God has for us this morning. I was thinking, Mr. Smith, I would say my father, he's not really my father, yesterday preached on something about New Year's and that time coming up. I was thinking about some of the things that are going to be coming up in our lives in the future here. One of them is finals next week coming up. And it's a time of the tribulation. And often I think it's easy in our lives to be thankful in times like Thanksgiving, when we set aside time just to be thankful towards our God. Or with the season of Christmas coming up. We're already in the season of Christmas. You walk around, everybody's buying gifts, and everybody seems happy this time of year. It's easy to be thankful then. But what about the times when you go through difficulties in your life? What about the times when there's tribulation? We think of next week with the finals. It's not as easy to be thankful during times like that. And I think in the Bible, it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It's a command at all times to be thankful. And again, I say, "Rejoice, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Also in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 16 and verse number 18, "Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's important, not just in times like Christmas and Thanksgiving, but in those hard times, in the tribulations, to be able to have a thankful spirit towards God. The Christian is commanded to be thankful in times of trials, in times of testings, tribulations, temptations, whatever it is that may come our way, we need to be thankful. So today, I'd like to preach a message called Thanksgiving Through Tribulation. If you have your Bible with you this morning, let's take them out. Turn to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103. If you would, when you find it, please stand together with me. I have to say that my dad named me David. My dad's name is David, and it's of no little consequence. My favorite Bible character is David. I'm thankful for his life, and it's an example towards me. Verse number 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." 7 times within this passage of Scripture, it mentions to bless the Lord. I think we can translate that also, thank the Lord. This morning we need to be thankful during the tribulation. You may be seated. I submit to you this morning, you and I should thank and praise the Lord for what He has done, what He's going to do in our lives. This psalm begins with blessing and ends with blessing. Seven times. In verse number 22, we see that everyone and everything is to be thankful towards the Lord. It says, "Bless the Lord all His works." I think of my dad. He used to go out witnessing with my grandfather, and they would go to the door. My grandfather's favorite thing to do, he would knock on the door, and he would say, "Hello, I'm here to preach the gospel, as it says in Mark, to every creature. And you're one of God's creatures, so I'm here to preach the gospel to you." Well, here it says that all His works are in all places of His dominion are to bless the Lord. Each one of us are one of God's creatures and God's creation. We need to be thanking the Lord today for what He does in our lives. Verse number 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." I believe one of the keys to thankfulness is not being unthankful. Unthankfulness comes when we forget God, out of verse number 2. It comes when we focus on circumstances around us and not on what God has done for us. If we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see a prime example of how we can forget God. I believe we can liken the lives of the children of Israel to those of a college student today. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments, and His judgments, and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten, and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I believe that the children of Israel fell into the trap of being unthankful in their circumstances. It says in Psalm chapter 106, verse 21, "They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt." In verse number 2 of Psalm 103, I believe a key to unthankfulness is forgetting God. So what should the Christian do? What should a Christian Bible college student do if he wants to be thankful? He must remember. As it says right there in verse number 2, "Forget not all His benefits." We must remember the benefits of the Lord. Have you ever thought about what the Lord does for us? The benefits that God has and has done in our lives? Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Psalm 116:12. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" And I believe in 1 Corinthians 6:2, He's speaking to Christians, "Beloved, who are partakers of the benefit." I believe the benefit there is salvation in what God has done for us. So if we want to be thankful in those times when tribulations come our way, next week when we go into finals, we can be thankful when we remember the benefits of the Lord, what He's done for us, when we remember the salvation. So let's look in verse number 3 and also verse number 12. I want to look at one of the benefits of the Lord that He does for us, that He has done for us. Verse number 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." The first benefit of the Lord, what He has done for us that we must remember in order to be thankful in tribulation, is that He has forgiven all of our iniquities. I remember 2 years ago, I grew up in a Christian home all my life. And I learned how to act the part, act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, and talk like a Christian. But it wasn't until 2 years ago that I realized I had it all in my head, not in my heart. And that's when I realized that Christ died for me, and I accepted Him as my personal Savior. It was at that point that I was forgiven from my iniquities. I'm thankful for that. I like to use Dr. Child's definition on forgiveness, God in grace forgives the sinner by remitting the penalty of sin through the sacrifice of Christ, and forever separates the sinner from his sin in the divine reckoning. One thing today, a lot of Calvinists would like to tell us that it's all kinds of men that need to get saved or are going to get saved, not all men. Well, if you look there in verse number 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities," they also would have to take that and say that God only forgives us of all kinds of our iniquities. That's not what it says. It said God forgives us of all of our iniquities. Every single one of them He's forgiven us and taken out of the way. Verse 3, the word there behind forgiven, it means it is salak. It means to send away. And it's past, present, and future. God has completely sent away our iniquities. And we look in verse number 12. Where is He putting our iniquities? It says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." If you were to start traveling east today, you would never get to a place where you're actually traveling west. So it's a place that doesn't even exist. So God has completely taken our iniquities and they're gone forever. Completely taken away. Psalm 85:2, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people, Thou hast covered all their sin. Psalm 86:5, For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Psalm 130, verses 4 and 5, But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. A special verse to me, Micah 7:18-19, Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I'm so thankful that God has completely forgiven all of our iniquities. And when we go through those hard times in our life, when we go through the tribulations and the testings, we can be thankful because we can realize that God has forgiven our iniquities. You know, even when I remember something that happened to me this semester. I was driving home from church. It was Sunday night, and I had my Dodge Intrepid, which is a car which I liked. And I thought the light was green, and in reality it was red. I ran the light, and I totaled my car. God allowed it to happen. In times like that, we can still be thankful. I can still look back, and I'm saved. My sins have been forgiven. I can be thankful during that time. Someone after that, I'm thankful for this. They gave me a car with 345,000 miles on it. And I drove it for probably 2,000 or so miles, and the transmission went out. You know, when your car with 346,000 miles on it, the transmission goes out, you can still be thankful because we have been forgiven. Just focus on the salvation during the tribulation times, and we can be thankful. There's much more in this passage. Verse number 3 also says, He heals our diseases. I believe this could be spiritual disease. Remember in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 6, it says that we were completely sick with sin. That's how we're pictured. And the Lord has completely healed us from this disease. It says down in verse number 18 that He's going to make our sin white as snow. And Psalm 147:3, He healeth the broken in heart and He bindeth up their wounds. You and I can be thankful in times of tribulation, because He's healed our diseases, spiritual. He can also heal physical diseases, just as we heard that Mrs. Bray, I believe, is going through cancer. God can heal that. We just have to have the faith. We can ask Him. He can do that. So God forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. What else does He do? Verse number 4, Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. In times of tribulation and hardship, we can remember that we've been redeemed. We've been completely bought back. That's what God has done for us. We've been purchased with the blood of Christ. We no longer are on the road to destruction. That's something that I always like to dwell on. I love this song, Redeemed and So Happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. There's not a language that can speak the happiness that is and the joy that's inside from being saved, being redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Psalm 107:2, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Ephesians 1:7, In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Acts 20:28, Take heed thereto unto yourselves and to all the flock which are over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Romans 3:24, Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You and I can be thankful in times of tribulation, even next week during finals, because we've been redeemed by God, completely bought us back. There's so much else that the Lord has done for us. Verse number 4 says, Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God places upon us His loving kindness, which is the kindness that flows out of a heart of love. Psalm 36:7, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 63:3, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You and I can praise the Lord during those difficult times because He places His loving kindness upon us. Tender mercies. This word is pictured by a young mother who has her baby and she holds it close to herself. So God the Father likes to hold us close to Himself in His tender mercies. Psalm 119:77, Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. In Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. This morning we can be thankful because God's tender mercies are upon us. Verse number 5, another benefit that we can remember during those hard times. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Did you know that God has given us so many good things? So many things that we don't even deserve? We deserve to be in a place called the lake of fire for all eternity. That's what it tells us in the book of Romans. That's where we belong to be. But yet God has given us so many good things. Psalm 52:1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you were to look in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, we see the passage he talks about the Father, the earthly Father, and he knows to give good gifts unto his Son. But it says, how much more shall the heavenly Father in heaven give unto us good things and give unto us the Holy Ghost? God the Father has given us good things far above what we deserve. We can praise him for that. He's given us spiritual joy. He's given us physical health, strength to even be here. He gives us financial provisions. Matthew 6:33, remember that verse? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God takes care of our needs if we seek after him. The question is, what has the Lord done for us recently that we can be thankful for? Remember his goodness and what he's done. I think of the song, Satisfied. All my life long I had panted for a drop from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. We can be satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ and in God and his goodness toward us, in giving us salvation, redemption, forgiveness, his loving kindness, his tender mercies. These things should bring thanksgiving into the life of a believer. We have no reason to be critical, to be complaining, murmuring, as the children of Israel did. God has given us so much. There is absolutely so much more. Time will not permit to go through everything. But let's look at another thing. Verse number 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Did you realize that God works righteousness on our behalf? He works those things that are good in our life. God bestows his righteousness through the circumstances that we are allowed to go through. And God always does what is right for his children in his perfect and his righteous plan. Psalm chapter 107. If you would just flip a few pages over there. In this chapter we see reasons why we ought to praise and thank God. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Also in verse 15 it says the same thing. Also in verse 21. Again in verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do we ever stop and consider God's wonderful works towards us? He does so much for us. I'm happy to say that I have a sovereign God who's not limited by the box of Calvinism, but he does work things all together for good to those that love God. God allows the circumstances because he knows that they will work for good. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 50. Verse number 20. I think Joseph is a prime example of someone that went through a lot, but yet it was for his own good. God allows the circumstances. They may not seem good when you go through tribulation, but it works together for God in his good plan. Verse number 20 of chapter 50, or verse 19. This is Joseph speaking towards his brothers. It says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. So we see the perspective of man there. The brothers did it for evil. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. We see the sovereignty of God working, and He allowing something to happen for His own purpose, and it was something that is good. I'm thankful that we can say that God works for His righteousness on our behalf. And we can be thankful because of that. Verse number 7 of Psalm 103. I'm just going to give you the rest of these points for sake of time here, that we can think about them as we leave here today in a little while after the next message. Verse number 7, He made known His ways unto Moses. Did you know that God makes known His ways to His children? The word way there is like a road that is trodden. God wants to reveal His will to us each and every day. And He has done that in the New Testament. If you go through and do a study, I know Mr. Hankey in evening devotions Monday nights, he went through a series on the will of God and what it is for us today. And there's so many verses. There's salvation, prayer, sanctification, thankfulness. So much that God wants for us to do. We can be thankful because God has revealed His will today for our lives, even in the tribulation, times of tribulation. In verse numbers 8, 9, 10, and 11, we see the characteristics of God's mercy, and we can be thankful for God's mercy. He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He does not give us what we deserve for our sins, which would be hell. His mercy that He shows is as high as the highest star, in verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. So on the level of mankind, we cannot measure the mercy of God. We were in Corinthians class the other day. I did not ask Brother Spencer if he would mind if I use this illustration, but it was in the notes, and I didn't think that he would mind. A famous atheist would often, in the middle of his lectures against God, say, "I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I've said." He would then use the fact that his continued life was the proof that God did not exist. A Christian said in response, "And did the gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in 5 minutes?" How true. We can never exhaust the patience and mercy of our God. It's not measurable on human terms. There's so much that we can be thankful for, even in the hard times and in the times of tribulation in our lives. College students, challenge each one of you to be thankful, even in the hard times, even during the times of tribulation, even next week in finals. We can be thankful for what Christ and God have done for us.